Hi, everybody. Greg here. I just wanted to jump back into the feed and tell you all that we still have our Patreon going over at patreon.com/boathousestudios. We're about midway through the 30s, so it's time for me to remind you all about the good stuff we got going on over there, including the Bad Animated Cartoons in Live Action series, which includes, of course, Garfield the movie, the Smurfs, and Alvin and the Chipmunks. We're doing commentaries on that and a whole bunch of other wacky stuff. So if you have been getting some entertainment or mild pleasure out of this podcast that we have been doing for, my God, it seems like almost 10 years now, then hop on over to the Patreon and kick us $2 American for a month or so and see if you like it. Thank you so much for your continued support. It's the reason that we are able to keep this show going and keep it ad-free and independent, and have been doing so for this entire almost 10-year run. Wow, that's just so long when you really put it like that. Anyway, I'll see you again when we are in the mid-20s. That website URL again is patreon.com/boathousestudios, house spelt the German way.
Recently deceased, a white-sheeted ghost returns to his suburban home to console his bereft wife, only to find that in his spectral state, he has become unstuck in time, forced to watch passively as the life he knew and the woman he loves slowly slip away. Welcome to the List Off!
This time around, I was like, that is quite the shoot.
Boy,
boy for sale.
They should have just credited her as Kesha. I will be keeping on the floor.
Like every time I get a gift on this podcast, it's always a troll.
The Simpsons podcast that became a Futurama podcast.
Yeah, I'll fix it if it
yes. Yes, welcome to Two Bad Neighbors presents The List Off, a Simpsons podcast that became a Futurama podcast that flamed out very quickly, and now we're talking about what we should have been talking about from the very beginning, the movies!
Yay!
Specifically the movies of the 2010s, the 50 best movies of the 2010s.
And objectively, 50 best movies.
That and the list that everybody in our 20 group, 20 person group submitted, everyone knew the rules. Everyone knew exactly what was going on. Everyone understood the assignment and took it very, very seriously.
Right. Well, coming out hot.
Very much. Is this a call out?
Hey?
Are you calling me out?
About what?
You know what?
What?
He's bullshitting you.
You're fully bullshitting me. You're fully bullshitting me. I didn't know how to read.
Hey,
okay.
We're going to talk about it. I think it makes things very interesting.
We're going to talk about it.
Oh, my God.
We have to.
The chaos.
To, but it's great because, honestly, I'm excited to talk about this movie.
It's very fun that there's more than one chaos monster in the list.
Yeah.
And, like, yours is unintentional.
Yeah.
Whereas my wife's is pretty intentional.
Yeah.
That was a good one. Hers was Mamma Mia. No.
Hers is Mamma Mia, here
two?
We go again.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was the
that's
second one.
There.
But then I was like, I went to say it, and then I was like, am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Okay. You can spoil any that are in
the past.
Okay.
Just don't spoil any upcoming ones, if you know of any. But also, if you don't know, you can talk about movies that, you know, potentially might be in the upcoming list.
Maybe.
Well, you can talk about Burning.
Yeah.
Yeah, we watched that.
Yeah.
Yep.
You can talk about Pacific Rim.
Pacific Rim, sure. Yep. That's one.
Talk about Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, the one that's just behind this one.
What number is that Mission Impossible?
MI5.
Oh, that's MI5.
I haven't seen it. I'm currently watching all of them for the first time.
Oh, how I envy you.
I know, right?
I'm so excited.
I just finished.
I've been watching her and Nate like reviewing them, and I'm just like, because I'm like, listen, it starts great. It teeters a bit and then it gets incredible. They've watched the first three.
Yeah, okay. I was gonna say we've watched 1, 2, and 3. Alan said we had to wait to watch 4 with him.
Oh,
so yeah, I don't know why. I think the Mission Impossible movies, my parents were just not. They were like, action movies. We don't care.
Yeah,
we want Fight Club instead because we're Gen Xers and you know whatever. And
what?
Yeah. They're not like regular parents. They're cool parents.
How old are your parents? 45.
My mom had me when she was 20. So yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, so no, I never saw them.
Man, but, I thought I had young parents. My parents are just on the edge of the boomers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're like the last boomers.
They're the last.
Yeah.
My parents are definitely boomers.
I do know that.
No, my parents are so Gen X. It's crazy. But then the thing is like they have this like grungy Gen X edge to them, but they also were like, I don't mean this offensively, but like devout Christians for like quite a long time. My dad was like a youth pastor and like a cool youth pastor.
A cool one. Like he would spin the chair around.
Oh, big time. Yeah. Like, you know, we're talking about the guy in the room, you know, and that's God, you know? So, very, very odd times. My childhood.
Talking about the big man.
Yeah.
God.
The elephant in the room.
Right.
So our guest is Joanna Iles.
Oh, welcome. Yeah. Hi. That's a thing I love your you shirt. Guys do where you don't introduce I specifically
is
wore
from Disney?
It is no not from Disney it's like it's a knockoff Disney but I'm wearing it's Grim Grinner's Social Club shirt specifically because it's a ghost story today so I thought
Grim Grinning Ghosts
exactly.
One of the greatest songs ever written
is it now
Greg
I haven't heard it
thoughts
no I haven't heard it
you ever been on the Haunted Mansion
I have actually. You know what? The sigh was let me fucking relive my childhood for a minute. And then I remembered, yes, I've been on Pirates of the Caribbean and the Haunted Mansion. Just only those? In Orlando, though.
Okay.
Only at Disney World. There's, I've never been to
Slightly different. Yes. Both of those rides are slightly different in Orlando versus California.
I would hope so. They're separated by a continent, but that's fine.
Well.
But they're both under one mouse.
Yes.
That's right. Yes.
Who lives in a house?
One mouse to rule them all.
Oh, boy.
I'm so happy Disney doesn't own the Lord of the Rings. It's like the only thing I'm like, fine, Amazon, I trust you more than I do Disney.
Seriously?
I guess.
The lesser of all evil. Not really,
Not even though.
No. Like, would Disney have done a worse job? That's impossible to say with a Lord of the Rings show. That's impossible to say. I do think that they would have done a job.
I think they would have done multiple jobs. I think we would have gotten like a story about the grass in the Shire, and then we would have gotten a story about Gandalf's mom, and we would have gotten a story about, you know, everything you could think about.
Who's Gandalf's mom, Greg?
Gandalf is a celestial being that doesn't actually have a mother. You could say that the parent of Gandalf is Eru Iluvatar, also known as the One.
Yeah, the God of Middle-earth.
The God of Middle-earth. The
one mouse to rule them all.
Yeah, the one mouse to rule them all. But then it's also like it's not just monotheistic in Middle-earth, it's also polytheistic, so you have like a bunch of like these lesser deities. You know, it's a little too much to get into right now. A
lot to unpack.
Yeah. When we inevitably do the best films of the 2000s,
we'll talk about it.
Lord of the Rings.
You bet your ass.
We're here to talk about a ghost story. This is number 35 on our list from 2017. It had 53 points. It was on 3 of 20 lists. The highest placement, with an asterisk, is Joanna with number 2.
Let's fucking go.
So for those that... I feel like I've probably explained the way the list worked in our early episodes. It's been a while since we recorded them, so I'm sure I did. But basically, people submitted a list with their top 25 films of the 2010s. The idea was if to be in order from 1 to 25. Your favorite number 1, number 25. Hold on. I realize in retrospect I didn't make that clear. So Joanna, when she submitted, just
Hold on. Yeah. Is this a formal apology?
No.
Great. Off to a great start. Because that's why I'm here today, is to receive a formal apology.
Well, you're going
to
be here for a while. So
we'd love to hear it.
No, but Joanna just picked 25 films that she loved from the 2010s, which makes sense, but it still was numbered.
Yeah,
so
you can
understand my confusion.
I had to keep track of how many fucking movies I had listed.
Did you use the Notes app?
No. Wait. No, I just use Word.
Right. Well, also, like, that Word also does, like, if you put one,
it'll automatically make the rest.
I think what's most interesting to me is I feel like this wasn't discovered by you.
It wasn't.
Until, because we did, for another kind of background to this, is that we just did it kind of like as a friend group. So I was revealing the results to just the people who had submitted. And I feel like it wasn't until like, don't know, a couple movies were revealed that you're like, wait a minute, were these supposed to be listed in order?
Yes.
Because otherwise, if we had discovered the error earlier, you could have, you know, shuffled them around and I would have been able to, but it was like, it was too late. I was like, I've already compiled all the stats.
I also think that I was like razzing people in the group for not submitting their lists when I I think I submitted like mine like first
early,
or second.
Yeah.
Like I submitted my list pretty
because
quick.
Because
I didn't put them in order. So I was just like, I can list 25 films
movies.
I love. Yeah. So
there was no agonizing over it.
None. Yeah. But then
and
you know,
what I loved about it was that you had this movie as your number one.
Yeah,
which,
I did.
You know, obviously in retrospect wasn't technically your number one, but We chatted about it. And I'm like, okay, like if you had to choose one from your list, like what would it be? And I was able to kind of sneak one in to be your number one instead of this one that we won't spoil.
I don't think I remember what it is. We'll talk offline.
I mean, I guess what do you think, Greg? Can I spoil one if I know for sure it's not on the list?
I don't care. You're the one who cares about the rules.
Well, you're right. I'm the only one who cares about the rules.
So what do you think?
Well, because the thing is, I want to.
If it's not on the list, the number one.
Yeah.
Joanna's number one is not on the list.
Yeah. No.
Spoil it.
Okay. It's Inside Out.
Oh, yeah. Fucking of course. Yeah.
And because I also have already floated this to you, Greg, but I feel like we should do people's number ones that didn't make the list, which if there are at least three, we should do those as bonus episodes.
I agree. We should do them in between digits, in between the decades.
Oh, that sounds good.
Ooh.
Yeah. Great.
With the worst one coming first.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Which one's the worst one?
The writer.
Okay.
Oh my god.
Putting Jen LeBlanc on blast.
Always.
Shout out to Jen.
Always. She hasn't been on yet because the ones she's scheduled for we haven't recorded yet.
I don't know why.
Oh my god.
We are absolute movie enemies.
They are movie enemies. It's pretty funny.
It's crazy.
But that being said, we still, because of, again, just the way things were, it was easiest to just slide Inside Out into number one and shuffle all the other ones down. And that made this one your number two.
Yeah.
I feel like during our conversation, you also like kind of you looked at the list and you're like, you know, that's not like it's not like crazy. Like the order wasn't crazy for you.
No, like there was definitely like a couple that I was like, that should be lower. But
yeah.
all things considered, not bad.
Yeah. And I mean, like the reason we do. We did do it this way is just to make it easier to order the top 50. We could have done it where just everyone chose 25 and then each one gets a vote essentially.
Yeah.
But you'd have a lot of ties.
Yeah.
Like just based on like what we've gone through so far, you know, there's a lot of like, they were like 3 votes, 4 votes, 5 votes, like a lot of those.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd just be a lot harder to like shuffle them around. So that's why the point system is in place. That being said, it's not a big deal. This is a formal apology.
Thank you. I still don't hear the apology part, though.
Huh?
What? Sorry?
Why do you look... What?
Did you hear an apology?
No.
No, I didn't.
Then I've kind of zoned out
a
bit.
I'm sorry that you feel that way. I'm just kidding.
Thank you, alien.
Nice.
That's like some reality show.
That is,
bullshit. Where it's like, I'm sorry. Yeah, I did apologize. I said I'm sorry that I made you mad. Or like, I'm sorry that you got mad. Right.
Yeah.
I think I'm sorry you feel that way.
That's a classic non-apology.
Perfect.
Yeah. So a ghost story. I will say for the record, I also had this on my list.
Slay.
I believe the other person was Nathaniel, your husband.
Hack.
So those are the three accounted for. Sometimes we're like, who had it on their list? But I know for sure Greg didn't.
Definitely not.
Yeah,
no,
fair.
Definitely,
that's totally
definitely
okay.
Not.
It's totally okay.
And Greg, had you seen this before?
Yes.
This. Okay.
Yes.
Before the list?
Yes.
Okay.
Loved it.
Great.
You loved it before the list?
Absolutely loved it.
Great.
And you watched it this time?
Yes.
Still loved it.
Loved it.
Okay, great.
Okay, great. Yeah. Oh.
It's not going to be a burning situation.
Based on that conversation, I was expecting Greg to be like, I fucking hate this movie
so
much. So
I never know with Greg.
Yeah, you honestly, you never do. You never
do know. There's times where I'm like, I love this movie, and Greg's like, this was trash. And I'm like, what? And then we get in a fight.
Yeah.
Or the other way around, where he's like, I kind of liked it. And I'm like, are you crazy?
How did you like this movie? Yeah.
Amazing Spider-Man 2 is still okay.
Duh,
I agree.
No, thank you.
I fully agree with you
on that.
Thank you.
No, I will not stand by this.
Thank you. I went away for a while. But I never stopped believing.
No.
So I saw this for the first time when I was in Missoula, Montana.
Ooh, oh. Okay.
Exotic.
Yes.
Quite.
I was there to see the Decemberists.
Okay.
They were doing a festival they called Traveler's Rest.
They must clean up in Montana.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
that's where Colin Malloy's from, right?
He's from Oregon, I'm pretty sure.
I thought he was from Montana. Maybe. And
the rest of them are from Oregon. Yeah,
well, they're from Oregon because they're
an Oregon. The band officially is.
They're an Oregon band, but I thought he was from Montana.
Could be. I have no idea. But basically, I had no idea this town existed.
Sorry, I do have to look this up before we get another correction and omission. By the way, yes, Charlie Hunnam's British.
Oh, did we get that?
Yeah.
Who sent you that?
On our Instagram.
Charlie Hunnam's British?
Charlie Hunnam is, not Australian. I know.
Wow.
I know. I hope we get fired for that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that was the comment. I hope somebody got fired for that blunder.
I mean, we did used to be a Simpsons podcast.
It was said in jest, and it was very, very fun, but I thought I should mention it. Yes, Charlie Hunnam is not, in fact, an Australian. He just looks, sounds, and feels like one.
Sure does. Yeah. But yeah, look up where Colin Malloy's from. But Missoula, Montana, I didn't know really existed until this festival was happening. And
I didn't know it existed till right now.
Yeah, it's like a college town. It's actually like kind of a cool little spot.
So like Lethbridge.
Yeah, kind of.
Helena, Montana.
Nice. There you go.
Work.
So, they did this two-day festival with a bunch of other bands, like The Head and the Heart and...
oh my gosh.
Some others that I just can't remember off the top of my head, but anyway.
Did you just cry the whole weekend? Because
pretty much.
That sounds amazing.
But we had some time to spend in Missoula aside from that, and we were walking down the street once, and we saw this cute little like independent theater, and it had a little chalkboard out front that had a little ghost.
A little spooky ghost.
Like a little spooky ghost, much like the one in the film.
Yeah.
And it said a ghost story, and I had never heard of it. Mm-mm. I said, let's go watch it. So we sat down and watched this movie, thinking, probably either a spooky little weird film or maybe a horror film. Ended up crying the whole time.
Sobbing. Yeah. Sobbing.
It's an hour and a half.
It's beautiful.
It zips by. I watched it today. I watched it this morning. But I was also like working while I was watching it.
Yeah.
Not a great movie to watch while working because there's very little dialogue and a lot of it's visual based. So like after I finished work, I like sat down and like went back and like rewatched from basically the halfway point.
Yeah.
So like 45 minutes, and I was just like it just zipped by. I was just it really sings. It's a really fascinating movie. But I'd like to hear both of your experiences with first time seeing it as well.
Mine was as soon as it started, I'm like, oh, weird aspect ratio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I guess we're going to be...
I was like, is this whole movie?
Yeah. Are we going to be stuck this way this whole time? And yes, you're going to be stuck this way.
Yeah, spoiler alert, you are.
I thought it was quite devastating the first time I watched it. And then when it started going through the I am now unstuck in time thing, I started to get less devastated and more of like, oh yes, show me how you see time as a cyclical loop.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it is everything that has happened will happen again, and where we are is just a part of this thing, and it's it's like a record just spinning around and around and around.
Yeah.
And that sort of shit really gets me. Yeah. I love that metaphysical stuff. It's so fucking cool.
I agree.
And then of course the ultimate devastation comes for me when the ghost just sits down on the piano.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
This time
when
around.
He sees his past self.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
When he sees it this time around, sits down, clang, and just gives up and sits there, and then is like, oh wait, I have something to do again. And then the Steve Jobs soundtrack kicks in again, and then looks and then fades away. And it's
is that just how it made you feel, or is that true that that's the actual Steve Jobs
soundtrack? No, it just sounds exactly like the Steve Jobs soundtrack.
Does sound very similar. Yes.
That in that particular moment, I was like, this is the iMac moment from the movie Steve Jobs. It's awesome. It's great. And when I was watching it this time around, I don't know if I had the same experience when I watched it before. Both times I've seen this movie, I've seen it completely and utterly alone on my laptop.
Nice.
Just in the dark.
The just, way it was meant to be seen.
Your just, own ghost.
Yeah. So that aspect ratio really tightens in on you when you're watching it on a small screen in the dark, all alone. This time around, I was like, that is quite the sheet.
Yeah.
That sheet does a lot of acting work.
It does.
It is an incredible piece of costume and production design that you just, I never would have thought to do it. It's such a simple idea. And this time around, I just kept thinking of how much this movie cost versus the ambition of the film, which is massive. The ambition is massive. You're talking about immortality and what it means to have unresolved business. You know, like you're talking about these incredibly huge concepts, and you're doing it for, what was it, $100,000?
Very cheap.
Did Rooney Mara and Casey Affleck work for free? That must have been
it. I mean, they worked with him on his previous feature, so I think that could be it. The house, I know, was set to be demolished anyway.
Yeah.
So that's why they let them shoot there basically for free.
Yeah.
And then got to film it be demolished.
Wow. That's just smart.
Yeah. And it's funny because the sheet was initially supposed to be very simple.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, but it's not.
Yeah.
Like, visually it's very simple, but they actually, like, David Lowery had this image in his head for like a long time, I guess, where he wanted to do a ghost story with the typical sheeted ghost look. But every time they tried to put a sheet on Casey Affleck, like, it did not look good.
No,
so they had to, like, he had to wear like a hoop or something, and he had to wear a bunch of corsets. What do you call them? Like big petticoats, I think.
Okay, yeah.
To like make it so that like it drapes a certain way. It was like a really like a much more involved undertaking than it would appear.
Yeah, even the eyes show so much emotion and they change, but it's just because it's almost like the eyebrows and the shape around the eyes changes with the folds of the sheets.
Mm-hmm.
And I was noticing that, and it was blowing my mind this time around, because I was like, wow, like how the fuck? You know what I mean? Like, because it's so precise and like so, detail-oriented.
Just some of the ways
he
moves his head too.
Yeah.
Is just like says so much, and it's like, you know, we can talk about how Casey Affleck's probably a piece of shit, but as a performance, it's like very impressive, arguably.
You can talk about how most actors are pieces of shit. Let's talk about the performance.
Great.
I don't care.
I mean,
if I can't enjoy anything.
I know.
Yeah.
If I
everyone
can't,
sucks.
If I can't separate it, it's just everyone sucks. And the sooner you understand that Hollywood is an elephant shitting on people, mm-hmm. the happier you're going to be.
Yeah, this is so true.
By the way, watched Babylon for the second time very recently.
Fucking rules.
That movie has gone up from a 4-star to a 5.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I liked it the first 1,000%. Time. I've only seen it once though, but it was it's
I've just seen it
it's
once
good.
Too, but it's been sitting in my queue because I'm just like, when am I going to pull the trigger? Because I'm just very excited to watch it again.
Braden and I had some conversations about how we're going to be like, oh yeah, this is the movie Brad Pitt won his Oscar for, right? And then, like, 10 years from now, and they're going to be like, no, it's the other Hollywood one.
Yeah.
And
you're going to be like, what?
You're going to be like, what? Huh? That? The other Hollywood one? The other one with Margot Robbie? Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was this one. You know, it's like, this is the one that she won an Oscar for, right? And it's like, no, she wasn't even nominated.
No. Mm-hmm.
It's like, but she was nominated for what? Bombshell? What?
Was she nominated for Bombshell?
She got nominated for Bombshell?
It's either her or Kidman was nominated for Bombshell.
Somebody got nominated.
Yeah.
But, anyway. Bombshell. Jeez. Yeah. That's a movie that forget exists until it's mentioned.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, yeah. Never saw it.
Totally.
No, neither did I.
I mean, a movie about people being a piece of shit.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Hollywood needed it.
Yeah, I guess.
They always need to release a movie that's talking about the things that are happening so they can be like,
it's
we know,
fine
and
now.
It's bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, everything's solved.
It's fine now.
Crash.
Yeah. No, that's why Babylon is important.
Yeah.
Is because it's been like this forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Since the dawn of time.
What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
If we don't do things like this, then we don't have Avatar.
Mm.
It's up to you, guys. You're either watching movies or you're not. Complicit or you're not.
But then the rest of Hollywood was like, fucking Damien Chazelle, dumbass, ha ha, laughing at him. It was just like, it was the most chaotic. Yeah.
And he shouldn't be.
No, he should be. Release Damien.
Release the Damien cut? I don't know.
I think we got the Damien cut.
I think we did, actually. I think that's the problem Hollywood has.
Yeah. Is that they were like, oh, yeah,
you actually released the Damien cut.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you can barely even find it.
Do you guys ever see any, aside from, I know, because we saw Green Knight.
Yeah.
You've seen Green Knight?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Seen any other David Lowery movies?
Great.
I've seen The Old Man and the Gun.
Yeah, any good?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
That is a nice little adventure story featuring Robert Redford in his second last performance.
Aw.
Yeah.
Wait, is his last
Avengers
War?
Endgame.
Avengers Endgame, yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, fucking no.
Hollywood icon.
I'm honestly really bad with directors specifically.
Joanna's taking out her phone.
I'm
Do you have to leave?
Yeah, I need to leave. No, yeah. I'm searching.
Well,
David
Pete's Lord. Dragon was the one he did right before this. That was like his
definitely
one
not.
For them.
Ain't them bodies saints?
Yeah, that was the one that was with Rooney Mara and Casey Affleck.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did Green Knight. Or what did he do between? He did Old Man and the Gun.
Yeah.
After this, then he did Green Knight, and then he just did Peter Pan and Wendy.
Yep.
What?
One for them.
One for them.
What? When Peter Pan and Wendy?
Yeah.
Oh,
I think
that
it was
one.
A pandemic one.
I just saw the cover.
Yeah. Doesn't it look
apparently
just awful?
Apparently, good reviews.
Okay.
Positive.
It doesn't matter because it doesn't exist. The movie just came out on Disney Plus
and it
evaporated like
I'll see it.
Like steam. No, you won't. No, you
I'm
won't.
I'm gonna watch it tonight.
No, you won't.
You.
What's the movie called?
Peter Pan and Wendy.
Mm? Is it?
But is it though?
Peter and Wendy?
See?
Wendy and Peter Pan.
Wendy and Peter Pan. Very good. Very good. And the movie is like a breath of air. It's like sand. Sand
Wait,
in your
you
in
it?
Your fist. Yes, I've seen like okay. the first 30 minutes and it was just evaporating in front of me because it was just like during the day and nothing held me there. And yeah. it's a live action Disney remake. Who gives a flaming fart?
You know, it's funny. The only person I have on Letterboxd who has that movie listed as they want to watch is Selena.
Oh, nice.
Alan's partner. So,
well, there you go.
Well, we'll watch it
no,
together.
I have not seen any other David Lowery movies but besides
Green
A
Knight.
Ghost Story and Green Knight. Yeah.
Pete's Dragon is like an interesting idea for a Disney live action remake because who cares about Pete's Dragon?
I mean, yeah, those are the ones they should be doing.
Like
exactly.
The Black Cauldron.
Yeah.
Do the Black Cauldron.
But don't fuck it up.
Yeah, don't fuck it up.
Oliver and Company, baby.
Do
give me some Oliver
the
and
Sword
Company.
And the Stone.
Bring Billy Joel as the dog back.
Oh my God, please. Please.
Have him dressed up as a dog. Don't CGI it.
That dog can sing.
Dodger?
Yeah, Artful Dodger.
Yeah.
Dodger.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
he's based on Oliver.
He sings all the way through a New York City construction site.
From
And he hits those wieners around his neck and they
sure
become a red
yes!
tie.
Sure does.
Like Billy Joel.
Oh,
it's great. It's a great sequence. Like what a tour de force that moment is.
The cat's very cute as well.
Yeah, the little cat is
Oliver?
Is
Oliver?
Yeah.
Oliver. Oliver.
Boy. Boy for sale.
It's a joke five people will get.
You're welcome, James.
Yeah. So I guess I didn't read the IMDb plot synopsis.
Well, why don't you get to it?
In this singular exploration of legacy, love, loss, and the enormity of existence, a recently deceased white-sheeted ghost returns to a suburban home to try to reconnect with his bereft wife. I love IMDb's synopsis.
Yeah, that one is actually better until it gets back to the ending. Don't say that he's trying to reconnect with her.
Yeah.
You don't know that.
Yeah.
No.
That's your interpretation.
That's subjective.
That's someone's interpretation.
Yep. Yeah. When did you first see this?
I remember watching it on my couch. Mm-hmm. I don't remember when, but I definitely was on my couch and it was fairly soon after it was like released to the public, not in theaters. And I watched it, had no idea about anything about it. I literally went in completely blind. I was like, oh, I like spooky movies.
Mm-hmm.
Let's watch this.
Nice.
And yeah, I just was sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. And then basically, the minute I watched that movie, I actually fell in love with the score, surprisingly enough.
The score's very good.
Which makes me think that maybe I should listen to the Steve Jobs score then.
You should just watch Steve Jobs.
Well,
you should just watch Steve Jobs.
I've watched Steve Jobs, the one, like, years ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Black turtleneck.
Oh, yeah.
homie. Yeah.
Eventually.
Eventually.
Yeah. He eventually gets that.
Three different eras.
But yeah. And Seth Rogen?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Doing
yeah.
Some of his
I
best
saw that
work.
In theaters. I saw that.
One of his greatest performances.
So good.
He should have been Oscar. He should have won an Oscar, if you ask me.
Seth Rogen?
For yep. Wozniak? For
I think he should have played. I agree.
Yeah. I think he should have won.
I fully agree.
Yeah.
Come
it's
at me.
Not binary. You can be decent and gifted at the same time. Mic drop. Mic
a blessing.
Great shit.
Mic drop. But yeah, you should listen to it.
I guess I do. Because there's a specific song on this soundtrack called A Secret in the Wall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that song is like permanently on multiple playlists of mine that I listen to all
that's
the time.
That's the one I'm talking about.
That's the song. Okay, yeah. Then there it is. Okay, yeah. So I will be visiting the Steve Jobs soundtrack then. Because
it's
yeah,
the 1998 segment specifically. I love that. That's evocative of that moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's the the iMac moment.
The iMac moment.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah, but no, that song, it's been on my Spotify Wrapped. It's been on my mind all the time. It's been on my heart. But I don't know. I just feel like I hadn't seen a movie that felt like something taking a chance, I feel like, in a while at that time when I first saw that movie. And it felt like something different for the first time in a while. It felt really refreshing. Again, it's only 93 minutes or something like that, which is, oh, I love a tight 90.
Mm-hmm.
And it just... There was so much to devour and digest from this film for me that I was like, I just couldn't stop thinking about it. And I still don't, I still think about this movie. Like it still pops in my head even before we started doing the list stuff and stuff like that. Like I just think about this movie randomly all the time. And yeah.
I mean, it's a big reason I was excited for The Green Knight.
Yeah.
When I first heard about it was, I mean, I already am in the pocket for Arthurian legend shit.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So I was like, oh, like a new Arthur movie that's not just the story of King Arthur and the sword and the stone and all that bullshit. Like, and then also like Dev Patel, he's fucking hot.
I was just going to say, for me, it was Dev Patel. Yeah. Cause I was a Skins girly back in the day. Oh, yeah. I like the TV show Skins and that's OG
and then,
Dev Patel.
And then written and directed by David Lowery. And I'm like, I think at the time I was like, who is that? Looked it up. Oh, the ghost story guy. Hell yeah. I'm stoked for that. And I do think it's actually interesting that there is a lot of, like you can see a lot of similarities between this and The Green Knight in a lot of ways, which I think is really cool. Have you seen The Green Knight? We've talked about this, right?
I went and saw it in theaters during the pandemic when it was really fun to go to theaters.
Yeah.
And it was like the best thing I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, when you have so little to look forward to during a global pandemic, the kids won't remember this. But when you have so little to look forward to, going to see a movie that looks fine is really, really exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like going to see a movie that is actually excellent is like
transcendent.
The most amazing thing in the universe. Yeah. And you're just like, oh,
man,
this guy's got ideas. This guy has thoughts and ideas. And I'd seen Ghost Story before then. And so like going into it, I was like, no, this... David Lowery has ideas.
Yeah.
He has thoughts. And when he made Pete's Dragon, he made a ghost story.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how that's a one for me when you're just like, I made it for $100,000 and I borrowed, like, the biggest thing is like, I borrowed a covered wagon from a local historical site.
Yeah.
You know? And
for one scene.
Yeah. And that's the biggest. That was the biggest expense because the visual effect I did on my own, you know,
the little portal.
The little portal is like that. That's fun.
The little portal is pretty fun.
I was more talking about the future cityscape.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That makes sense.
What do you think happens to him, to the ghost, when this is just something that I during this time I was like, I couldn't quite. Figure when he jumps off of the skyscraper in the future, what wakes up in the past?
I love the concept of and I don't know enough about like quantum physics and bullshit, but like the idea that time is cyclical and that eventually everything will just happen again.
Yeah.
The Futurama did this as well, to speak back to our, yep, our failed
that
project.
Full circle moment.
but that's one of my favorite parts of Futurama. It's one of their fucking endings, one of their final episodes that we never got to in our project, but maybe one day we'll do on Patreon, where the professor invents a time machine that can only go forward. Right, so he can only go forward in time, he cannot go backwards in time, and they, you know, have some goofy joke of why, but the point is, like, he's like, you know, I just want to go forward like a couple days or whatever, but then like slips and actually goes forward like 100 years, and so like everyone he knows is dead and like all this, and then it's like, well, now what do I do? And it's like, well, I don't know. And then so they start just like trying to go forward a little bit more, eventually just like, fuck it, and they just put it on and just like watch the universe basically collapse. And then the Big Bang happen, and then the Earth form, and like all this, and then like they get back to basically where they were before.
Yeah.
And then they slip on it again. Like, God damn it. Course, so they do course. It again. So, you know. So you watch it all reform yeah. again. But yeah, so that just, I remember, I honestly can't remember if that Futurama episode came out before I saw Ghost Story, but either way, like both those are like key things in my brain about that idea that time is cyclical and that things will just repeat. So to answer your question, like my thought was always that because he's experiencing time in such a different way now, right? Where, mm-hmm. Which is also a part of the movie I really love, especially early on when the Spanish family moves in and he's just kind of like looking around,
yeah.
And like they're suddenly it's Christmas and like suddenly, you know, yeah. And like so time's passing so yeah. quickly.
I like when the wife's leaving the house multiple times in yeah. a row.
Well, yeah. As she gets further from him, and as soon as she drives out of the movie,
yeah,
he becomes unstuck.
Yeah,
you know, he's like a skipping record, only he's like skipping full songs.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
And he's less and less tethered. Like, he just kind of, like, stays there and watches her, right? Yeah. But he's always...
He's bound to the location.
He's bound yeah. to the location and to her.
And to her.
Yeah.
And as soon as she's gone, he doesn't...
He doesn't care anymore,
so he doesn't... He's,
that's why time is, like, passing quicker.
He, like, lets it go only occasionally. And when the Spanish family comes in, it's like, he's going through the stages of grief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
And that's... really interesting to depict in a way that's like, okay, that's what hauntings are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's angry ghosts.
It's the ghosts, the dead who are going through the stages of grief themselves. Mm-hmm. So I'm angry now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to take this milk and throw it on the ground.
I love it.
It's so cool.
I love it.
And so I guess like my thought is that like once he is like in this place where it's a future world now, the house is gone. Now it's this like high rise building
yeah.
with offices and like bullshit that has no emotional attachment to him anymore. He either flings himself off or just like falls off the building and just kind of passes into like a coma of sorts. Again, just like the time just passes without his knowledge. And that's why I feel like he wakes up when like the first stake is being driven into the ground to create the house.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So he circles all the way back around until the house is starting to be formed. The mm-hmm. the main thing that's kind of tying him to that location.
Yeah.
Right. Cause I think the other thing is that we see snippets of, the characters are never named, by the way, there's C and M in the credits. C for, Casey, M for Mara. That's how I remember. we see him, see them having conversations about how, you know, she wants to move out. And he's like, no, like, I want to stay here. And she's like, why? And he's like, I don't know why.
Hmm.
And like, I think that there's kind of this idea that it's like, it's because his self is there, his haunted self or a ghostly self, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't quite understand that. I also think that's why when he kind of sees himself as a ghost at the end, and then is able to get the note and reads the note, obviously, like all of that coalesces into him being able to move on. Like, mm-hmm. it's not just the note. Mm-hmm. I think it's like a bunch of things mm-hmm. that enable him to be like, yeah, I can leave this place finally.
Mm.
This location, whatever it is. He passes on to some other ethereal plane. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's really cool. The note I read, by the way, is very interesting because Rooney Mara was the only one who knew what she wrote. David Lowery told her to write something that meant something to her.
Oh.
And so she did that. She put it away, and then it was torn down with the house when it when it was actually torn down.
Oh my god.
And she was, I guess, like asked later on and she forgets what she wrote.
Oh my gosh.
We'll never know. And I kind of love that.
No, I actually love that. That's yeah. It kind of lends itself to the movie, honestly.
Yeah.
In its way. There's something really cool that I also liked about this rewatch too, is like some of the, oh my god, I'm not gonna lie, I hate online discourse about films or like video games that I'm playing.
You're not on because, film Twitter?
No, very much not. Just because like I like hearing people's opinions, of course, and even if they're like differing from mine, but like it's just too much sometimes online. Oh, yeah. So, but I will say one of the things that like people online were saying a lot was that their issue with the film was that the beginning of the film felt like an insufferable drag. Mm. And I love that because that's the point, in my opinion. Yeah. Like, I thought that was, I found that very interesting that, like, the main complaint that people have with this film, at least online, was that the first part of the film just felt like a drag. And, like, why did she need to eat the pie for so long? And, like,
what are you talking
about?
What are you talking about?
It's like, one of the most affecting scenes I've
ever seen. I completely agree. And everyone's like, oh, it just feels like it could be trimmed. Like, I don't know. It just feels excessive.
It feels...
Greg's getting mad.
Yeah, tell me about the movies.
Okay.
This is why, you know?
Fucking simps.
All you plebs.
The movie is 90 minutes long.
Exactly.
We're not trimming anything else, all right?
No. It's trim.
And it's also a comment on the passing of time.
Yeah.
So
and
if,
grief.
And
like,
grief.
Also, the pie scene is so important for grief.
It's
and like
grief,
how,
but it's also like, yeah, it's taking a long time, but like she's doing it.
She doesn't know
she's
what
there.
Do.
She doesn't know what to do. And it's like, it's also like you feel the time in that scene. You physically, like, I'm like, wow, it is going long, but that it, then you're like, it's intent. It feels intentional. Like, I don't know. It just,
because someone
it's so smart.
An alive person dealing with grief, it feels like an eternity.
Yeah.
Dead ghost who's without their partner anymore and living in a house where there's a group of strangers, time feels like it passes by like a split second.
Totally.
It's very important that the beginning, quote unquote, drags and the second half zips
it's
along
quick.
Through
yeah.
time very quickly.
It's because
fuck you all, you haters.
When she leaves the movie, the movie has nothing else to do.
No. Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? And when she drives away,
it's when I start
absolutely
crying.
Heartbreaking.
Like,
yeah.
Oh my god!
It's absolutely, but also like it's this time when I saw it, I was like, I didn't cry this time because I knew that it's good.
Yeah.
This is good that she's doing this, that she's leaving, and she's going to do something else.
Yeah.
She's moving on, which is what the whole movie's about.
Yeah.
She gets to do it. What's sad is he doesn't.
Yeah, and that's what made
his
me cry
face.
This time around is for me
his
when she left.
Like,
I know, standing.
Why are you leaving?
It's so sad. But for me, yeah, that was exactly it. It was when she drives away. That was sad in its own way, but also good.
Mm-hmm.
But then watching the house get torn down with him standing there, not able to get the note.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Brutal.
Like I can't even talk about it. Like I start talking about it and I start getting like choked up. You know what I mean? Like it just kills me for some reason. And then the other ghost,
the neighbor ghost, is like,
they're not coming back.
I don't think they're coming.
Yeah. Poof, gone.
And I'm just like,
literally the combination of like, the demolishing of that. And then the only friend, quote unquote, that he's able to interact with being like not receiving. I don't know. I can't even talk about it. I'm getting choked up. I literally can't.
It's like, because there's basically three scenes with the flower ghost, as it were.
Their first interaction is, hi, hello.
What are you doing?
I'm waiting
for someone.
Yeah.
Who? I don't know.
Yeah, I can't remember.
And already
it's
I'm like...
not I don't know. It's I don't remember.
I don't remember, right. And already
Which
I'm like, that's
just
so sad. Like,
devastating.
And then the second
remember.
Time, it's like, who is it? It's just me. Oh, I thought maybe.
Oh, my God.
And I'm just like, no, flower ghost. And then it's torn down and it's just like, I don't think they're coming. Gone.
I literally can't talk about this fucking movie without crying. Like, I'm literally... It's that scene specifically for me. Like, it literally... I don't know why. It's so much at one time. That's just, like,
so
much on my heart.
I mean, there's all these, like... you know, obviously like philosophical, like musings on death and afterlife and all that kind of stuff. But like something that always like really got to me is like, I think it's a lot in like, you know, like Mexican culture as well with like the Day of the Dead,
yeah.
like the idea that like you have two deaths, right?
Yeah.
You have your physical death and then your
when you get forgotten.
Death when you're no longer yeah. remembered. And like, I think this movie really like ties into that in a lot of ways as well, where
fuck you Ernesto de la Cruz. Yeah.
where the flower ghost kind of represents that in a way to me, where it's like, you know, they're stuck in this realm still, but like eventually they're just going to fade away because everyone's forgotten about them, and it's very sad, you know, but
yeah.
it's also, you know, and this, maybe we can veer into the longest dialogue section of the movie, of the dude talking about how
oh yeah
nothing matters, everything's going to be destroyed anyway.
See, this is the thing that I would be on the discourse about. It's
yeah.
like, it's like, okay, so the pie thing, that's what you're mentioning, not this fucking guy.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah.
So before we move yep. on to the from the pie, I just also want to say what an acting feat that
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
One take.
I was going to say, how many, like,
it
was one take. They did she have to eat more than one pie?
No. She said it was okay. disgusting, though. Yeah. It was a vegan chocolate pie.
Yeah, she's a pro.
She is.
Yeah, she's an absolute pro. Rooney yeah. Mara is the best performance in this movie.
Unquestionable.
And she can do so much without doing anything. She
yeah.
is a, she's like a perfect statue performer.
Yeah.
You know, like, in Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, she can do, she does a lot.
Yeah.
She does a lot in that movie, and I'm glad that this actress is on a movie in this list, and I'm not sure if she's on any others.
Hmm.
We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll never tell.
We'll definitely find out. Yeah. Because this performance is so small and
yeah.
and minimalist, and a scene like that is like a mountain. Like the whole like discourse around a scene like that, you'll make a mountain out of a molehill
yeah.
in this one, but it's very, very simple. What it's trying to portray, and that is just how empty you feel when your person is gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what do you do? You know, like, I don't know. I have a hard time filling the time when Allie's gone for what, a month?
Yeah. yeah.
A lot of that is eating.
Yeah.
yeah.
You know?
If you found a pie on your table, you'd be like, all right, I'll sit on the floor and eat this. I don't know. What else am I going to do?
What else am I going to do? And that's her whole thing in that yeah. moment. And then, and like, it's really great that Lowry allows you to do, allows that character to have that.
Yeah.
Because it does so much with just one scene.
Totally.
You know, like, for like any discourse that's like, well, what is this scene even? It is the whole grieving process.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a scene. Like, I don't know. That's what I would do. That's like
yeah.
what she's doing is probably what I would do, which is why that's the part that made me cry this
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
So I guess I got mine out early.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the part
I'm up and down throughout
yeah.
the movie.
Yeah, I cry. I was the yeah. same, but specific. Yeah.
That's the part that really got me, because it did make me think of like, this is what I would do.
Yeah.
It put me in that space, and that's a hard space to be mm-hmm. in. So kind of like, fuck you, David Lowry, for making me think that.
But, and I think also like,
thank you for giving me catharsis.
yeah.
Yeah. I think it's also among many reasons why the aspect ratio is the way it is mm-hmm. to make that feel more claustrophobic, more
yeah.
lonely, more, you know, trapped.
It's yeah. all about keeping you isolated
yeah.
and lonesome. There's a reason why directors do things.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's kind of funny too, because you were saying like, when Allie's gone for a month, like sometimes you just, what do? You eat, right?
You eat.
So mm-hmm. for me, I'm actually the reverse. Like, I find when I'm stressed out, I stop eating. Like I get no appetite. I have no appetite. So in a way, I also was seeing this through that lens, and it could be either or, I guess. But I was seeing it through the lens of like, there's days where sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't eaten. Like, you know, I forget because I have ADD, and I'll forget to eat sometimes. And I need to eat because I need to live, and you need to
yep.
eat to survive. And sometimes that can be really fucking annoying and really
yeah.
frustrating that you need to keep doing that when you're not hungry, right? When you're feeling really stressed. And so for me, when watching her just push through eating that whole pie was like, it reminded me of times when I've been so stressed, but I need to like force myself to eat something, because if I don't, like, I'm gonna pass out and faint, right? Like, I need to eat something even though I'm not hungry because I'm so stressed out. And so it's like, it could be a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B, but like, it's just,
it does make
it's
her
crazy.
Puke eventually, so
yeah,
I
but
feel
it's
like
crazy
it
that it like
that too.
It conveys that that whole grieving process, like you said, wordless.
Yeah.
Completely wordless.
Yeah.
I don't think she cries either.
She does.
Scene. Does she cry?
She does.
She's crying? Yeah.
She's crying.
She's crying instead of eating?
Yeah. It's,
and I did rewatch this like last week.
That's one of the things where it's like where I was watching it, and as soon as she started too,
yeah,
that's when I started.
Yeah.
Because like, she got there, and like, there's the ghost just right there in the shot.
Just watching.
Just watching.
Mildly out of focus.
Yeah.
And cannot do anything. And you're just like... like,
stuff.
And it's also like a that just tiny vignette shot is also like a really great moment when you see your partner in pain, and you, despite the fact that you're living physical there, don't know what
to do,
and
anything.
Even if you did, what would that even be? You can't actually do anything, you know.
Yeah,
it works to like illustrate paralysis in the moment, which is, you know, awful. So nihilist guy,
prognosticator, he's
credited as prognosticator. This is a scene that didn't work for me the first time I saw it, and it's a scene that didn't work for me this time.
Interesting. Okay.
Either I think a lot of it has to do with who's saying it. Maybe that's the point.
Yeah.
Is that I find this guy so unappealing and unlikable that I just would really like to just move on.
That's fair. I mean,
I think that's probably how the ghost feels too, though.
I think that's the thing. So that's why it works for me, is that I feel like it's this guy that is, I think, designed to be kind of an insufferable philosophical, like, took 1 year of
I know that guy. I've been at parties with that guy
in university, and suddenly thinks he knows everything about the world.
Totally,
and is spouting off, you know, you're spouting off your degrees and your I can't do any of the fucking Goodwill Hunting shit, but
I got a number. How do you like dev apples?
But he's doing that kind of thing, and his whole kind of like thesis is that despite everything we do as humans, like, nothing will matter because eventually the universe will, you know, collapse and explode, whatever. And I think what worked for me this time is knowing where the story goes, and the fact that
how wrong he is
and the things do loop back around, and things can still survive, and the fact that the little girl in the 1900s, or I don't know what fucking year it was, but like the early settlers people is humming the same song that Casey Affleck shows her on the headphones, and the idea that like, oh, maybe that's like part of the cyclical thing, is that like we don't actually realize what we're being influenced by because the universe is just full of, like, you know, like songs and art and all this kind of shit. I don't know. The ghost is standing right there being like, this piece of shit doesn't know anything about my life.
He's completely fucking wrong. He's like, he thinks he, and everyone's kind of listening like, oh yeah, there's definitely a couple people in the room who you are like, oh, okay, buddy, like, you know, rolling their eyes a little bit. But people are mostly listening to this person who's talking with so much conviction that he is so certain about all of this.
And some of them are just like, okay. Like a little interesting. Like, I'm not going to be like, shut up, I don't care. But also, we're here to party, man.
Yeah,
like, you're really dragging us down.
Yeah. I remember watching the people in the background of that scene in the living room area. No.
Kesha.
Kesha's in the back. Oh, you know what? I think you see her, kind of. And I think I actually said, that girl looks like Kesha.
Yeah, apparently.
Is it actually her.
So they asked her if they could use one of her songs in this scene.
Okay.
And she was so like excited about it that she came to set. So they just had her as a background.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, anyway.
I remember just watching them and being like,
I think in the background it's a Kesha song. Yeah.
Yeah, there's like people actually dancing and having good times at a party in the background in the living room, while this like, you know, this guy's chatting about like the most insufferable stuff. But like, I was watching them going like, if I was at this party, I would like slowly like be like, cool, go to living room.
Oh, I'd be like, again, I feel like I'd be like listening, because I'm like, this, like, it's wild that this is happening right now. I'm very curious where it's going to go. But then afterwards, I'd be like, Joanna, did you hear that fucking guy talk about
That's happened in real life.
Yeah, yeah. Will Oldham, by the way, is the person playing that guy, and he's actually a well-known musician who's usually known under the name Bonnie Prince Billy.
Does he kind of fun. Wear those overalls?
I think he does.
When he performs?
He definitely has the same kind of look on his... it's not overalls, but similar look on his...
And a wide-brimmed hat, I bet.
Well, no, it's just his bald head.
Oh, okay. Maybe wear a hat.
No.
Maybe.
That's my punch-up.
That's your punch-up.
That's my glow-up for the William.
Character? Or
no, for him, just him yeah. as a performer.
Yeah. You know what? Choices.
Everyone
Choices.
Else wears a Roots hat. Can I call it that yet?
What, a Roots hat?
A Roots yeah. hat?
What do you mean?
You know what Roots musicians wear?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'd say yeah.
Yeah.
But it also sounds like, but to me, because we're in Canada, I thought
yeah.
of Roots.
Yeah.
Like I thought of like a wearing. Beaver. Yeah. I thought yeah. of a beaver, you know, Roots Canada.
Like the cardigan
Not
I'm wearing
sponsored.
Right now.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. Kesha as Spirit Girl, she's credited as. So.
Spirit Girl.
Yeah.
They should have just credited her as Kesha.
That's
Kesha
true.
Has Kesha at yeah. the party. It's a fun place to have a party, like a yeah. allegedly haunted house.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's like nobody's lived in there for a couple years, and you're just like, well, we're college kids. We're going to go have and also this 35-year-old.
yeah. Talking about the future and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, and there's also no houses around.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
looks like pretty secluded, so mm-hmm. you can get rowdy.
Mm-hmm. It know? Feels like the kind of place that like, your friend is like, yeah, like my parents own this place that's like kind of out of the way, but it's like a really great party house.
Yeah, so yeah.
People go out and like party at the house.
Yeah.
When the parents are away.
It turns yeah. out that it's John Davis's house. Jim Davis's
oh, boy.
House. Shit, I missed it.
Yeah, he did.
But you get it.
I get it.
Yeah.
John Davis, Jim Davis.
Jim Davis.
Very similar.
John Arbuckle, Jim Davis.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's the same guy.
Yeah.
Garfield.
Oh, yeah. yeah.
The creator of
the
Garfield.
The creator of Garfield. A Garfield story.
Coming
has that
soon,
dropped yet?
Actually. What?
On our Patreon?
It has not. It will be dropping this month.
Get ready, everyone.
Yeah. Happy Easter, everybody.
Happy
Easter. What'd you do?
We did a commentary of the Garfield movie. The live
Bill
action
Murray?
Garfield movie. Yeah,
yeah.
It was one of the worst experiences of my life.
Oh, my God. I have not rewatched that movie.
Yeah. So bad.
I don't think... Yeah. Maybe I will just listen
movie.
To your podcast.
Yeah. Possibly the worst movie we've ever done.
It's
really?
That, it's that or Alien versus Predator Requiem.
Really?
It's one
but
of those.
Alien versus Predator Requiem has, like, some gnarly kills.
Does it,
Garfield
though? Doesn't.
It does.
Okay.
Like, not a lot, but
no.
It has some.
Yeah.
Garfield has zun. None. Zero.
Zun.
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 Zero and none.
Zero and none.
Zero and none. Zun. Zun. Zun.
Oh, yeah, no, it is. Yeah, it's one of those two. It's probably Garfield because that movie is just...
It's unquestionably like, Garfield for me.
It's so painful to yeah. look at. Like
It's the visual
no plot.
That makes...
There's no,
no there's,
plot.
There's no plot. It's under... It's...
There's
under
no
90 minutes. It's almost like, what do we get? It's like 79 minutes with
Something
credits.
Like that, yeah.
Who plays John?
Breckenmeyer.
Why? Why?
Why?
It should have been Jason Lee.
Should have been Jason Lee. Yeah.
Jason Lee should have been John, and Breckenmeyer should have been Dave.
Yeah. Release the Jason Lee cut.
Just swap the casting around. You got gold. Well, not gold, but you have a better movie. Marginally.
Yeah.
One random fact
yes.
for, that I have. Remember when the ghost smashed the plates?
Yes.
Yeah.
I own those plates. That's it.
Oh, nice.
I own those plates. I was like, hey, those are my plates. I have those right now. That's it. There. That's it.
I've not with this one, but I've spotted like plates that we owned when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like in movies too. It's interesting how I feel like there was like
yeah.
an era where like just all these certain designs were
yeah.
mass produced, but like. Made to look like unique, like with certain flowers, and you know what I mean. Like,
yeah,
it's gotta be like this. Gotta be the case because, like, I feel like that happens often with like old plates.
I'm sorry to
sense.
Go back to Lord of the Rings, but
no, please
never
do
apologize
it.
For that.
The in Lord of the Rings, when they go visit the wood elves, I sometimes call them like the IKEA elves because they have these like bedding and these like pillowcases that are like 100% from IKEA. Like the throw pillows are 100% IKEA. I mean, the whole movie looks so good, and it felt like they forgot those like last little
like,
things.
Oh,
they're like, are you kidding me? Like, okay, well, I'm going IKEA.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm going IKEA. I'm getting pillows. If you want pillows, you should have told me
we need some pillows
3 years ago. You know what
scene.
I mean?
Yeah.
It, and it cracks me up every single time.
Are they the
time.
Ones the Nazgul stab?
No. The, in the Rivendell, in, right?
No.
Or in Lothlorien.
Lothlorien.
Oh, okay. Yes.
The Eki Elves.
Yeah. The Eki Elves.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Yes. I got you. I got you. Those are... Well, I guess I have to watch the movie again.
Yep. Just another reason.
Yeah. Ah, shucks. I have to watch Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring again.
Again.
The world is changing.
I feel it in the air.
Anyway.
I feel it in my fingers.
I feel it in my toes.
Christmas is all around.
The only good part of that movie.
Yes. Yeah, 1,000%. What
just
would the credit
the whole movie?
What would the credit of that movie be?
Just the Bill just Nye. Bill Nye stuff.
That's it.
That's it. Just fast forward through the rest.
Cute little short film about a yep. washed up musician and his
It'd be
manager.
15 minutes long.
No. It's called Music and Lyrics.
That I don't hate that movie.
I actually like that movie. Yeah. I haven't revisited it.
Yeah,
but
it's been a while since I saw it. But I remember. I have a soft spot for Hugh Grant.
It's cute.
Yeah,
it's cute.
And the song's cute.
It's charming.
Find a way back into love. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not like. It's not great. It's not earth-shattering, no. but it's also
but it's
like...
it's a cute rom-com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice. All right.
Anyways, ghosts.
Ghosts.
A ghost story.
We kind of talked about the beginning and the end at the same time,
mm-hmm.
because it's time is cyclical. Mm-hmm. So is there anything else we want to...
I mean, I did want to shout out the song.
Which one? Oh,
the song.
Yeah. I get overwhelmed by dark rooms. I have added it to my liked songs on Spotify now.
Mm-hmm. On playlist.
Yep. And I listened to it after I finished the movie while I was like doing some writing, and I think it's a really good song. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
I think it's used really well in the movie where, you know, we see him her remembering when he first showed it to her, and then cut to her on the floor listening to it again, and like her hand reaching towards the sheet.
Oh my gosh.
It's just another moment that really gets me emotionally. And
because she's finally feeling a little bit closer to him again by listening to that music. And then, smart. This movie to me is just, it's just so beautiful.
Yeah.
It's just so beautiful. So many moments. And I love moments.
Yes.
It's a true directorial masterpiece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I can't say this enough, friends listening, this movie has a reported budget of $100,000.
Yeah.
$100,000. That barely gets you anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that barely gets the camera rented.
Yeah.
You know, I don't get it. I really don't get it.
I would be stoked to get $100,000 to make a movie.
Oh, me too. Yeah. We could do it.
Yeah.
And the thing is, when you have...
That's like a quote-unquote normal independent like budget. Maybe not normal. That's a that's a good independent budget for someone like us.
For the two of us who haven't made Peach Dragon.
So how much was the 100,000?
I don't know if I've made Peach Dragon or not.
You haven't made Peach Dragon. David Lowry made Peach Dragon.
Called my bluff.
You're Zun.
I'm Zun.
How much was it? 100,000?
Yeah.
Garfield.
Yeah.
$50 million.
Yeah.
Fuck that movie.
$50 million to make Garfield.
In 2003 money?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is $100,000 in 2017 money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are we talking about? That's nothing. That is scraps of nothing. That doesn't cover scale for your two principal cast members, both of whom are Oscar winners / nominees.
Literally.
Is this the year? Is this before Manchester by the Sea?
I think it might be. Let me double check.
I think it is before Manchester by the Sea.
I feel like Manchester's 2018, but I might be wrong.
So he's just an Oscar nominee at this point. Ooh, great.
Spicy.
Ooh,
spooky, scary.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Is Manchester by the Sea really 2018?
I feel like it's older.
No.
It's 2016. So, okay.
he's a recent Oscar winner.
Okay, so big.
Yeah. And she is a recent.
I thought you were just going to say she is Rooney Mara.
She's a recent 2-time Oscar nominee, I believe, because Dragon Tattoo and Carol.
Yep. Carol.
That's right. Yep.
And so you have these two people and they're just giving you their time.
Yeah.
Essentially. unless they had points on the back end, which this movie didn't make any money.
No.
So, like, what are you even talking about? They did it as a favor to their buddy Dave.
Yeah.
And like, everything else he does in the movie is just an ambitious story told in the most effective, simple way possible, which is one of the fun things about seeing a movie that you know the budget of.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you go and watch, like, similar low-budgeted movies, like, in the old days, like Mad Max, the original Mad Max,
yeah.
And you're just like, they made this for $7,000 or $70,000 or whatever it was, and you're just like, how? What?
I love that.
You just have to be like, and you have to be like, oh, what are they choosing to do?
Yeah.
You know? And, like, I don't know, $100,000 on a film set will buy you nothing.
Mm-mm, no. I can't remember who exactly it was, but I'm pretty sure somebody did a kind of a call out like this at the Oscars this year, where they were saying, like, basically, like, make movies for less money, because they're saying, like,
that does sound familiar.
Yeah, I wish I could. You should Google it. But somebody was talking about that, because they were saying, like, basically, like, there's these ginormous movies that are just so much, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, that's it, and they're garbage. Like, some of them are good, but there's a lot of them that are just garbage.
Well,
you
get
what I mean?
And you also get, like, movies that are close to masterpieces, like Dead Reckoning,
yeah.
Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning, that are made for $300 million.
Yeah.
It was Cord Jefferson.
And they just can't make their money back.
American Fiction.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, as you said, instead of making one $200 million movie, make 10, $20 million movies. Yeah.
Preach.
Yeah.
Effing preach. Because, like, I remember, yeah, that speech this year, I was just like, thank you, because this is exactly that, basically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like, take your ginormous budget and make something that matters.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
break it up. And that's interesting. That's different. That's not pandering. I don't know.
That's not just going to get shoved into theaters and forgotten about,
yeah.
Or shoved onto Disney Plus and forgotten about.
Yeah.
And I mean, another reason why this movie could have cost so little is that Casey Affleck might have been happy to do it for free.
Yeah.
Considering
the timeline?
Considering
the
timeline, yeah.
It matches,
like,
I think.
Like, he's winning.
It was right before his win.
He's winning
the
Oscar.
Stuff came out, right?
Yeah. He's winning the Oscar when everyone's just like, oh, maybe Fences? Maybe maybe Denzel should have won that for Fences. He had two, but three is also a good number.
Brie Larson notably did not clap.
Didn't clap, you know, for a good reason.
Yeah.
No one's faulting you, Brie.
No.
That's
no.
Totally. I didn't clap either. I don't think his performance is actually that
movie.
Great. I think the movie's boring and stupid and overdramatic.
Yep. Yes.
Yes.
Agreed. 100%.
Yeah, I think it's a bad script. Sorry, Ken.
What else? What else was that year? Because I want to see.
That came out the year of A Ghost Story.
No,
Manchester.
Manchester. I want to see those Oscars, because
the
2016 or would that be the 2017?
So it'd be the 2017. Season, or sorry, like award season. So let's see.
So if that's when Denzel was nominated for
Fences.
And Viola Davis wins for Fences.
As she should.
Yes.
As she should.
A queen. 2016. So
in a category fraud case.
So the other nominees that year. Andrew Garfield for Hacksaw Ridge. I haven't seen it.
I didn't see
it. But I love Andrew Garfield.
A very good performance in a very... oh God! Movie.
Okay.
Denzel Washington from Fences.
Yeah,
as mentioned. Viggo Mortensen for Captain Fantastic.
Oh my
performance
God.
That doesn't exist.
Somebody was talking about that at my work the other day. Actually, that
no,
movie.
They
I
weren't.
Swear to God, somebody was like, "Have you ever heard of this movie?" And I hadn't, and I letterboxed it and was like, "What is this movie?"
Captain Fantastic. Yeah, I mean, it's Viggo Mortensen.
I think it's on my watch
chasing
list.
Chasing that
now.
Oscar.
All right.
I think he's done now, right? Chasing an Oscar?
Give him another decade. He'll
come back. I agree. Give it a little bit longer.
See how many pizza pies he wants to eat to get it.
Yeah. Well, because that's a guy who I thought should have been nominated two times before he got nominated once.
Mm.
He did get nominated for Eastern Promises, didn't he?
Okay, let me check now.
Because fuck that. He's so good in Eastern Promises.
I agree.
It's crazy. He got nominated for A Dangerous Method as well. He got a nominee for two of his three.
Incorrect.
No?
No.
Not
just
Dangerous
Eastern Promises,
just Eastern.
Captain Fantastic,
okay.
And of course
Green The Green Book, yes,
Green
of course.
Book, yeah.
He ate that pizza pie, he folded it in.
I thought he did for Dangerous Method.
But yeah, anyway, should have been nominated for Lord of the Rings: Return of the King.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm shocked, actually, he didn't get a nomination.
They didn't love giving acting noms to those films, fantasy films in general.
Yeah.
Don't get acting noms often.
Shove it.
Gandalf.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ian McKellen.
Yeah.
Is that it, right?
That's it.
We talked about this when we watched it recently.
Yeah.
Very surprising. Yeah, that like fucking Sean Astin should have been nominated.
Absolutely. That's a crime.
I think I keep using the character names.
Boromir.
Yeah. Frodo should have been nominated. Yeah. Boromir should have.
Yeah.
Just nominate the characters.
Yeah.
They're all great characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
they're doing an ensemble award or something now, aren't they? At the Oscars next year?
Casting award.
Oh, it's a casting. So the casting director. Which is going to be kind of an ensemble award, but not, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fine.
No offense to casting directors out there.
I'm fine with giving out more awards, honestly, because I think they're fun. I know a lot of people hate awards. I think they're great.
No, I love them. Yeah.
If you hate them, don't watch.
Yeah, it's fine.
I'm okay with them as long as, I don't like fan awards, personally. That's a personal opinion.
Well, you don't like the number one cheerworthy moment?
When the Flash enters the Speed Force?
Enters the Speed Force.
Believe me, you'll know.
You'll
cheer.
Yeah. You won't be able to stand down.
Wow.
But I still want them to do a stunt award.
Of course, we all do.
That's the one. I'm like, don't do a casting award until you put a stunt award in there.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's more egregious.
Sorry, we've gotten away from the 2016s.
Yeah.
Let's go back there.
Well, yes. So the person I would have chosen of the nominees is the only one that I haven't mentioned, and that's Mr. Ryan Gosling for La La Land. I think he is very lovely in that movie.
I do love him in that movie.
He is charming.
Charming.
Yes, he is. It's Gosling or Denzel for me.
Yeah,
I mean, Denzel is an easy swing.
Yeah. Honestly, that would have been such an easy choice.
Yeah.
It's such an easy choice.
It really is.
If you don't want to give it to Gosling because he's like, quote unquote, not ready yet, which fuck you, he is.
Yeah.
then give it to...
Give it to Denzel
for doing a Titanic performance.
He's literally there.
The problem is, I feel like this happens more often now with the Oscars, is if they already have one, they're less likely to award it.
Yes. This Emma Stone one is weird.
Emma Stone's one's weird. That's why
even
I didn't
she
expect
agrees.
It. I honestly didn't. Yeah, she didn't expect
it. Well, I mean,
it
her face looked like they agreed.
Because I think this may be one of the first times it's gone to a person who already has an award in quite a while.
Sure.
Who knows? Verify that, but
yeah.
Anyway, but Denzel, Denzel should have got it. I'm also just wondering what else came out in 2016 that should have been nominated.
Instead of Manchester by the Sea.
Sorry, we're going on this diversion, but that movie sucks.
It does suck, and with the drama around it at the time, it's kind of like literally anything else. I don't know.
It's just so sad.
Yeah.
And I'm saccharine. Like, why even?
For what reason?
What themes are you trying to tell? Like, is it about grief and how you will never get over this incredibly crazy, unlikely thing that is impossible that happened?
Yeah.
It's not even relatable.
No.
This tragedy is not even relatable. Like, you burn the house down and all three of your children. What are you doing?
I actually don't think I know a person who is liked that movie.
Because it's...
I'm not just saying that.
Yeah, like, no, it's not good.
I knew some people.
That liked it?
There's that
interesting
Michelle Williams scene, which is excellent if you want to use it as an example of film acting.
Yeah.
You know, you use that in a film acting class.
Yeah, standalone.
Yes. Yeah. You just take that 3-minute scene, because I think they're both very good
100%.
In that scene.
Yep.
But that's it.
That's it. You don't need the rest of the film. You're actually good.
Like, he's such a... He's playing it so internal that I don't even think he's watchable.
No.
In it. Whereas, like, if we're talking about, like, Casey Affleck performances, because, like, he's coming up. He's the star of this film that we're talking about.
Exactly.
It's The Assassination of Jesse James. That's that's his best performance.
Yeah.
There it is.
Hmm.
Best actor. John Goodman. 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Oh, dang.
Ooh. A snub.
Yeah,
if I've ever seen one.
Yeah.
One of my favorite performances ever. He's incredible.
That is a movie that passed by me. I've never seen it.
I recommend.
I did go see Cloverfield in theaters, and then I walked out because I was going to vomit on the floor.
Too spooky?
No.
Or too grossy?
Too movie. Too
motion.
Camera shaky.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I walked out, and then I remember Cineplex was like, well, we have signs up that says that it's going to give you motion sickness, so we're not going to give you your money back. And I was in like high school or junior high, and I was like, okay, well, I'll go back, but I'm going to puke on your floor if you're okay with me barfing.
Like, then, it doesn't even cost you anything. Anyway.
I was also 10 minutes into the film, so like, give me a break.
Come on, Cineplex.
But they did. They gave me my money back, because I was like, okay, well, I will go back because I don't want to lose my money, but I will vomit. Like, I will be puking on the floor.
The nice thing about 10 Cloverfield Lane, not a found footage
movie. I heard that. So. And then that's, I think, what originally like made me go, I don't know if I want to watch that movie, but
no, Titanic performance by John Goodman.
I've heard that. Yeah.
I also think that it's tricky because one of my favorite performances of 2016 is across three actors, and that's the role of Chiron from Moonlight.
So yes.
I think that's tricky because I'm sure there was probably talks of like, how do we nominate this character because it's three actors. But maybe you should just give it to all three. I don't know.
Yeah, why not?
Make a new rule.
You're literally the Academy. Who fucking cares? Make the rules. Do them.
Because that's a great performance by all three of those actors. So, anyway.
Yeah, I agree.
That's it.
Ghosts.
That's it for 2016 Best Actor chat that should not have gone to Casey Affleck.
No.
No, I don't think so either. But it did. I also think Rooney Mara should have won for Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, but that's just me.
Yeah.
Who won that year?
Actually, who won that
year? I can't remember.
Oh boy, gotta look it up.
Go for it.
Another rabbit hole.
That movie comes out in 2011.
Sure does.
We love it.
Yeah,
we love it.
That'll help.
A great movie though.
Oh,
I should revisit that movie.
I love Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
So good.
It's so fucking cool.
Yeah.
Sail away.
It's so good to look at. Like the. I mean, like it's. Why that song?
Why that song?
Why that song from that moment? Why are you doing that?
We're talking about Girl with the Dragon Tattoo? Yeah, oh, actually, yeah.
That's what I think of when I think of that movie. That's an iconic moment. It's an iconic music moment. What are you talking about?
Sail away, sail away.
Oh my gosh. You know, we're not so different, you and I.
A classic.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, look, Stellan Skarsgård's in this movie. Do you think he's the murderer?
Do you think maybe he's the evil one?
You think he's the bad guy?
No way. There's no way they'd be that obvious. Oh, there he is.
It's kind of smart. The movie's kind of smart in that they cast him, and then you don't see anyone else. You know?
All right, I'm going to give you one guess of who won that year.
Best actress?
Yeah.
What year? 2011?
Meryl Streep for The Iron Lady. Right.
Oh my god! Amazing.
Because I was like, it's the most obvious like thing now that I look at it. Like,
you're like, well.
Let's give her a third Oscar instead of give it to Rooney Mara.
As soon as you were like,
there's probably the most recent multiple win before
Emma.
No?
No.
Okay.
No, it's in fact the next time. It's the next year, I think. Daniel Day-Lewis wins for Lincoln.
For Lincoln.
Lincoln. Yeah.
That's his third.
That's true.
Yeah.
Should have won for Phantom Thread.
I was going to say.
Honestly, he should have four, probably.
He should.
So. Yeah.
The other nominees in 2011 were Michelle Williams for My Week with Marilyn, speaking of.
Oh, okay.
A good performance.
Viola Davis, speaking of, for The Help.
Slay. Oh, okay.
Bad movie.
Bad movie.
What a bad movie.
Yeah, what the hell?
Holy shit.
And Glenn Close for Albert Nobbs. Remember Albert Nobbs?
What were the best... Is that the best... was that the year The Descendants was nominated? And,
I think so.
This is the year. This year. So in my household, the Oscars are a huge thing.
Yeah,
my
Descendants,
mom's
Extremely Incredibly Close, The Help, Hugo, Midnight in Paris, Moneyball, Tree of Life, War Horse, Best Picture Winner, The Artist.
Okay, so that year was the year that my mom and dad, my sister was graduating from, like, was moving into junior high. My other sister was moving into high school, and I was graduating university. So we're all, like, going through a milestone. And my parents wanted to surprise us with, like, a family trip to go to Hawaii, because we were, like, we didn't really go out of this, you know, country very much and at all ever. So they wanted to surprise us with this trip. And so it was Oscars. And so they were doing like, guess what the movie is based off this thing we're going to give you. So they gave us like a chocolate pudding, and that year was The Help.
The
and I'm like, yeah, it was The Ship Pie. But then because of I think it was Descendants. It's in Hawaii, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was the final one. And then they were like, spell it out. We're going to Hawaii.
That's
like,
cute.
It was really cute. It's kind of a weird movie to tell you.
What did they do for Moneyball?
I can't. A cheese ball, maybe? Like, not even exaggerating? A
math equation?
Maybe. Yeah. Just a picture of Jonah Hill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sabermetrics. A book of sabermetrics for all of you?
Yep. I will say it's interesting because like 2011 obviously falls into our best of 2010s.
It does.
Possibilities. There were 9 nominees for Best Picture that year. One of them is on our list, and yes. I'm not going to tell you which one.
And it hasn't
one.
Been. It's
true. Hasn't been revealed yet. No. So
all will be
enjoy.
Revealed in time.
Yeah. Only one.
Only one made it.
One movie.
It's The Artist.
A movie you all forgot about until I said it just now.
Literally, I'm like, Ed Wood?
John Goodman's in that, too.
He sure is. Yep. Yeah, he sure is. Well, should we play our game?
Let's play a game.
All right.
Games.
Yeah.
I like games.
Not ghosts. Games.
Not ghosts. Games. I figured this episode would be a lot of, existential... chat,
yeah,
you know,
and it was
some emotions,
yeah.
So this game is called A Roast Story.
Okay.
To add a little levity to the episode, so I'll give you an actor and a bad review of one of their movies.
Amazing.
And you have to name the movie.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Just for fun, you can shout it out, whatever. Okay. First one, Brad Pitt.
Okay.
Here's the review. Meandering, pretentious nonsense. It's like watching your whole life crawl towards you on its hands and knees.
The Roasted. Tree of Life?
Tree of Life is
correct. Oh. Oh. Oh, Brad.
Next one is Scarlett Johansson. Glacial in pace, skeletal in plot, and generally just weird. Nothing more than art house nonsense.
Lost in Translation?
No.
Okay.
Good guess, though.
Nothing more than art
did
house.
Did she do the Battle Alita, Alita Battle Angel?
No, she did not.
Who did that?
Rosie Salazar, I believe.
Yeah.
Rose Salazar is
Rosa.
Rosa Salazar, pardon.
And,
she played a Ghost in the Shell? Was she the...
No, great guess, though.
That's the one I'm mixing up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this a love song for Bobby Long?
No. I'll say I think this is a good film. So I didn't just choose ones that I think are like correct by any means, just ones I thought were funny. I think this is a good film. The director of this film was recently nominated for Best Director.
All right.
Okay. I can't even think of any Scarlett Johansson films right now. My brain keeps going.
It's a
Marvel.
It's a weird one. Mm. Director is Jonathan Glazer.
Oh, it's. It's Under the Skin.
What?
Under the Skin.
Yeah. I've never saw it.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Pretty good?
Yep.
That's the only reason I know.
I mean, apparently not.
Well, again, these are
subjective.
Reviews.
Art is subjective.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Maybe contrarian.
Contrarian. Yes. Yeah. Yes. I mean, again, remember what I said earlier? The internet lies a lot.
I know that because Glazer's made like 3 movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, there it is. There you go.
Yeah. And to be fair, there were a bunch that I found that were like about movies I really love. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't even want to say these ones.
Yeah, so. That's fair.
So I tried to pick ones that are like either controversial.
I got to ask, where are these culled from?
They're from a compilation website that I found of bad reviews. Like it would say like, here's a bunch of actors and here are some of their worst reviews. For
wow.
Oh, amazing.
Just incredible stuff. Yeah. Good work. Yeah. Really good work.
Top tier journalism.
All right. Next one is Denzel Washington.
Uh-huh.
It's as if someone who saw the apocalyptic drama The Road said, let's do it again, but this time, let's make it rubbish.
The Book of Book Eli. Of Eli.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I saw that movie in theaters.
I never saw it.
I don't know why.
I never opened the book.
I think I want a date. To
oh
that
boy.
Movie.
Yeah.
Someone
yeah.
Eli? That'd be weird.
That would be double weird. No, I just remember going to the movie and I was like, oh, it's an action movie, kind of. Sure. Mm-hmm. Denzel's in it. And then I remember I was like, what the fuck is this movie?
Next one, Reese Witherspoon.
Oh.
Obvious Oscar bait. You'd get more enjoyment trekking 1,000 humorless miles yourself.
Walk the line.
Is this wild?
It's wild.
Oh, okay.
Good guess. I had the same
thought. I guess walking.
Yeah. Next one is Jack Nicholson.
Okay.
You may leave the theater with a guilty conscience, having hoped that both of the lead characters would just hurry up and die in order to put you out of your misery.
The bucket list.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Roasted.
Roast mode.
All right, this one might be a tricky one. This is for Naomi Watts.
Oof.
Generic and predictable. If the cholera doesn't get you, the dialogue will.
Oh, this is The Impossible.
No.
No? Goddamn.
Great guess, though. That's more of a flood than cholera.
Well, I thought, like, because you can get cholera from
like water.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's pretty good. That's actually pretty good. I like that train of thought, actually.
I do too. One of Tom Holland's.
I don't
movies.
Think I can name a lot of. I don't.
If the cholera doesn't get you, it's not Love in the Time of Cholera, is it?
No, I believe Edward Norton's also in this.
It's the Painted Veil.
The Painted Veil, yeah.
Of course, the Painted Veil.
How could you forget?
A movie we all remember.
Have you ever looked through the veil?
Never.
Never.
Me neither. I just know that those two hot people are in it.
Yeah. That's pretty
much
it.
We love hot people.
Well. And now I know cholera is involved.
Now I'm definitely not going to watch it because that means one of them dies.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch that. The Painted Veil is probably the thing that separates them, like a little iron lung situation.
All right. Next one is Christian Bale, not Painted Veil.
Okay. Not to be confused with Painted Veil. Right. Great. Was that intentional?
Completely unintentional.
That felt so...
a distant cousin.
Yeah. Christian. Yeah. Christian the cousin, Bale. Christian Bale's cousin. Painted Bale.
All right. Christian Bale.
That's the Christian Bale's drag name.
That's perfect. It fails as a dystopian movie, as a retooling of Fahrenheit
Terminator
451,
Salvation.
And even as a ripoff of The Matrix.
Oh, I missed it. It's not Terminator Salvation. Sorry. I shouldn't have
you just heard dystopian
you.
And assumed.
I did. I know exactly what it is, though.
Go ahead. I honestly, the actor you named dropped out of my brain. I don't even remember who you're talking about
Christian
right now.
Bale?
Christian Bale? Christian Bale! Painted Veil, duh. We literally just had this conversation.
We had a whole run about it.
I know. I don't know what's going on.
It's a Matrix
dystopian
ripoff.
Matrix ripoff, yep. With Christian Bale?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's Equilibrium.
It is Equilibrium.
I have not seen
it. Have you not? Oh,
no.
It is
100%
terrible.
Like, The Matrix was huge.
Good,
what
terrible,
else can we...
bad, terrible. Good, terrible.
I give it two thumbs up for terrible.
Hell yeah. Okay, I like a good, like, bad.
You know it's bad. You know it's really bad? When Sean Bean is billed second and he dies in the first scene.
Oh, no. Got him.
Gimme.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Sean has been. All right.
Yeah. This is
a game I did a movie.
It's like 2000. The movie's
going back to Lord of the Rings. No, I'm just kidding.
The movie's in like 2000, 2001,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, like, it's 100% like
it's so
pushed
fast.
Out after Matrix.
Yeah. It even has a fight, like a hallway fight.
Yeah, and they wear leather like trench coats. Yeah.
Oh, so it's like a straight rip.
100%.
You and have to see people, this movie.
I remember people in my high school being like if you like The Matrix, you gotta see Equilibrium. Really, bros high on it, and I watched it and I was like, it's fine. I haven't watched it since, so I don't know. I'm sure I'd probably enjoy it more now.
It is junk. Yeah. It is such like it's like rot your brain junk, and I love it.
Like Johnny Mnemonic junk.
Yeah, we might actually watch it tonight. We might watch.
You're like, now that we're talking about it, wait a second.
Gotta equalize it. That's different. Equalizer.
One, two, and three.
Last one. Cate Blanchett. Dark, depressing, and lacking in excitement. You know a movie's bad if it makes you long for Kevin Costner. Double roast.
Cate Blanchett.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, say the roast again.
Dark, depressing, and lacking in excitement. You know a movie's bad if it makes you long for Kevin Costner.
This makes me think Kevin Costner was in it.
He's not.
Or it's a sequel.
Nope.
No? Why would they long for Kevin Costner then?
that's what's completely throwing me.
If he wasn't part of the project to begin with.
Is it like a play on the word? Like, is it something to do with the? Okay.
No, how do I?
Is it a frontier drama?
No, I'm trying to say like, how do I do this without giving?
Is
it away?
Is it Babel?
No.
Okay.
Basically, it's a property that's been made many times into film.
Oh.
Oh.
And he was in a version of this.
Oh. So it's like an adaptation.
Yeah.
Is it a book adaptation?
Kinda.
Where'd you go, Bernadette?
She doesn't play the main character. I'll say this as well.
Oh. Okay. She doesn't play the main character.
I wish my facial expressions could read through.
I thought this would be not an easy one per se, but just like I thought that Kevin Costner would be the clue.
Yeah, well, like the book adaptation I'm thinking of is Talented Mr. Ripley.
It's not. And no, it's, you're thinking too and it's specific.
Because she's not the lead in that.
She's not the lead.
And now I don't know what I'm thinking.
I'm thinking
anymore.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
it's closer.
Oh.
It's close. It's Robin Hood.
It's Robin
Hood. Oh no.
Russell Crowe.
Oh
Ridley
no.
Scott directed Robin Hood.
Oh no.
Yeah.
That's why they're longing for Costner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that movie's great.
He was in Robin Hood Prince of Thieves.
Yes. Yeah.
That movie's awesome.
Men in Tights? No, Prince of Thieves.
Prince of Thieves.
Men in Tights is Cary Elwes, of course.
Yeah. Obviously.
Playing the titular Sir Robin of Locksley.
If you want to just like jam out to an awesome orchestral score.
Yes, always.
Throw on the overture to Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
If you want to jam out to an awesome 90s ballad, everything I do it for you.
Yeah. The end credits song of Robin Hood, Prince
song,
of Thieves.
Adams.
Why was that song built into so many pianos? I don't know if you know this, but you know how like keyboards
they have like the demos
and they've got like some songs programs like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star or whatever.
Sure.
Everything you that song was on multiple friends of mine's keyboards.
That's very funny.
Back in like the early 2000s, I suppose.
Yeah, I think I know why.
Please tell me.
Bryan Adams does a lot of music for movies.
So much.
Actually.
So many. And he loves money.
He does love money.
Licensing comes with money.
You might be onto something there.
If I could sell out, I would.
Amen. Give me an iPod commercial, please.
Yeah.
I will take money.
Yeah.
Happily.
Yeah.
Money, please.
Bring money.
Well,
is that
the
game
story? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great
that was
great
a good
game.
Thank
you for that.
Alan.
That was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
The only thing that I regret about this whole game thing is that we only get to play them once.
Yeah.
And a lot of them have been like games I would love to play again.
Hey, I could bring them back.
So
do a bonus episode, all games.
Ooh, that's
oops,
fun.
All games.
Oops, all games.
That'd be fun. That'd be a good Patreon, actually.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah. But
a lot of work for me.
Yeah, that's a lot of work for you. We'd put it on main feed.
Yeah.
So that's the end of the episode.
Yes.
Proper. I was just in Edmonton for a little bit, and I got you a gift. Yeah.
And you're going to do it on mic?
I'm going to do it on mic.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so glad I get to be here for this.
Well,
I don't know what
it is. Do you want a gift?
I get a gift, too?
If you want one. Do you want one?
Do I
well,
want
now
one?
Now I'm
nervous.
Scared about what the gift is.
Yes, unless it's a noogie.
Do you want this guitar?
Yeah.
Okay, you can have it. It's yours.
No.
No?
No, I don't.
Just take it home. You said yes.
I already have one.
I don't care. Look at me. I have one, too.
You actually do. You have a tiny guitar, a banjo.
Yeah, I have too many. Do you want that one?
No.
God damn it.
Sorry.
God
no.
damn it. A gift has been refused.
Is that like cursed or something? Mm-hmm. Like,
no.
Yeah,
is this a
ghost guitar?
I helped our mutual friend Emma move,
uh-huh.
and she was like, hey, take this guitar. And I was like, I can't turn that down.
Sure.
And then I brought it home, and I'm like, I have nowhere to put this. This is awful.
It's right there.
But it's a...
It's actually, if you actually don't want it, I'll take it. I'm sure I could give it a go to home if you...
Yeah?
Yeah, for real.
Well, there you go.
Oh my God, I got a guitar! It's a guitar story.
It's a guitar story.
There you go.
On my feet, balanced.
Bling. Is it in tune?
No.
Sounds in tune to me.
And Alan.
Yeah.
This is for you.
What is it?
What is it?
The bag is mine.
Yours. Okay.
I need the bag.
Okay, I'm going to see what's in the bag.
What's in the bag?
It's just one thing?
Yeah, it's just the one thing.
There was two little bags. So I just want to make sure I didn't throw it away. It's a little guy. It's a Furby, you fuck!
Oh my God.
Why would you do this to me?
What
does it do?
It's a Happy Meal Furby.
I pushed its tail in and now it's just staring wide-eyed.
Is it new? Is it new? Or is that like a nine? Like a
no, I bought that at an antique store.
Why would you do this
That's
to
amazing.
Me? Greg and Allie both know that I hate Furbies. Allie sends me memes about Furbies all the time.
As she should.
Well,
did you own
Greg.
A Furby back in the day?
My brother did.
And did it talk to you at night?
Yeah. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
And then
sleepovers were different in the 90s.
I rolled my ankle on a Furby on stage.
What?
During a show in the summer. And it literally put me out for a week, so I couldn't do the show, and the director had to step in and do the show.
Now, you can do whatever you want to that.
I'm going
to
destroy it.
There you go.
No.
There you go.
No.
If that'll bring you some catharsis.
Look at it.
I like it.
Do you
look
want
at
it?
Its feet. No, I don't. But I don't want you to ruin it.
Why?
It's his.
Because I just don't.
He can do whatever he wants to.
That's what I did to the one that rolled my ankle.
What'd you do?
I took a hammer to it. After the show wrapped, we took it outside the back of the Empress. I took a hammer to it. It was very cathartic. I just bashed it.
Oh my God. My mom did that to my Tamagotchi back in the day. It went through the wash.
Did it roll her ankle?
Oh. No, it went through the wash and it wouldn't stop going, "Nee!" And then my mom like couldn't take it. And I was at school and she smashed it with a hammer. And I got home and she was like, "I'm sorry, I couldn't take it anymore."
That's very sad.
I was like, "Mom, no."
Mine was evil, so.
Yeah. Did you ever see the Mitchells versus the Machines? Yeah, you did.
Oh, yeah. Great
Furby.
Movie.
I know. It was
Furby!
A scary part for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I hope that brings you some catharsis.
Well, I don't know about that, but thank you.
It brings me some catharsis.
I don't know if I should be thanking you or not.
Yeah. Well, you should. Well, it's a gift.
Yeah.
I feel like every time I get a gift on this podcast, it's always a troll.
It looks like a legitimate gift to me.
I don't mean like a troll, like the little Dolls? Troll doll.
That,
I
you
mean,
know what you're getting next
like,
time.
Like, Yiffy always did that to me on the Simpsons era. He'd do like a roast of some kind on me. I'll never trust anyone again.
Remember when he gave me the flag of Australia?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, and what did he give me?
A briefcase full of shredded newspapers.
Uh-huh. Sure did.
He's so thoughtful. He really does go the extra mile. You know?
It's
I
really
love Yiffy. I really love that man.
Enough of this.
Shout out to Yiffy.
It happens every time. I put all his work in. Get none of the praise.
Just wanted you to go home with something.
Well,
you know,
go home with anger.
All right.
I'm
well,
just kidding.
Well, thank you so much, Joanna, for coming, and thank you for taking that.
Yeah, thanks for the guitar and for allowing me to cry on your podcast.
Hey,
that's
anytime.
A thing that happened.
Yeah,
it's a safe space.
Yeah. It is a safe space.
You'll be back.
Yeah, I'll be back.
You can cry then.
I'll cry probably again.
Yeah,
yeah. We can talk about you know.
I'll tell you. I probably already told you, but I'll tell you which ones you're coming back for.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Off mic.
Yeah, we'll do that off mic. Yeah, that's about it. So until next time, you can reach us at thehammockdistrictonthird@gmail.com.
Numerical 3.
And you can follow us on the socials at Instagram, which is the one that we really use, at Bad Neighbors Pod. And you can subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/boathousestudios, house spelt the German way, for $2 American. A month, you can subscribe and listen to our commentaries on bad animated live-action movies.
That's right. Alvin and the Chipmunks are already on there.
Yep.
And as we mentioned, Garfield's coming soon.
And that means the Smurfs.
The Smurfs is next.
Is on
oh,
its way.
Oh my God. What
yeah.
about the? Have
smurfed.
You done the Gnome movies yet?
The Gnomeo
like
and
Juliet? And like
they're not live-action.
Sherlock Gnomes. Oh, that's not
live-action.
They're
live
not
action.
Live-action.
Oh, you're talking like, okay,
live-action
Pete's Dragon.
Adaptations of
Sonic?
Cartoons.
Sonic would be included in that, but it's good.
But it's good.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually
that's
good.
That's true. We said bad live action adaptation. It was a very specific trilogy we chose.
I am very excited for your Garfield episode. I'm not going to lie.
It is the best. I think we nail it.
Did you lose it, your minds a little bit?
Do.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you lose it a little bit?
Usually if we're watching a bad one, we have a lot of fun like ripping it apart. This one was just so boring that I got like
you felt offended.
I was like, I don't feel like I'm talking enough, and like yeah. So
no, we got
I,
angry.
We did get angry.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not at each other.
No.
You know what we should have done?
What?
Usually, what we do is we find some dumb like Oscar rabbit hole or whatever. Like, what won this year? Let's talk about.
Oh,
movies.
We're not gonna be able to do that during the Smurfs because that movie's gonna hold us the whole time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's so many Smurfs.
Dang.
Papa, Baby, Ginger,
Smurfette,
Sporty,
Spicy. Alan Smurf.
Dopey.
Doc.
Sneezy.
Grumpy.
Snap, Oing, crackle, pop.
Loin. Bofer, Biffer.
Bomber.
All the Smurfs
all
you know
the
and love.
Smurfs.
They're all there. The gang's all here.
Well, this is a good bit that we could roll over
We're
into
definitely
the...
bringing it into the commentary, so get ready for that. Thanks, Joanna, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back next week with number 34.
Yeah.
I need to remember what number we're at. And as always,
bye.